and welcome to the very first This Is Happening podcast. This is the first one. We're going to treat this a little bit as a prototype. My name is Whiskers, and I will be leading you through a little bit of conversation. And tonight, my guests are Nathan Clark. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, you all right?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, Simon Fogel.
How you doing?
And Dan O'Dell.
Good evening.
So who are you? Where are you from?
Brugnell Social Club, that's Nathan.
That's Nathan and Simon.
I'm from Allied Press and I hit drums for Allied Trains.
Yeah, and Dan?
I put out gigs and release the occasional record as Hide and Seek.
Oh, cool. So, how's last week been for you guys? Any interesting stories?
Well, I saw Simon here at Post-War Glamour Girls. What else? Department M gig, I saw yourself
Department
on Wednesday.
Gig was fun.
Not seen Nathan for a while though.
How was that? Nathan, what's been happening at the Brugnell?
It's been happening. We've had Ginger Baker.
So how was that?
That was interesting.
How was it interesting, Nathan?
You got a drumstick, haven't you?
I've got Ginger Baker's drumsticks. Yeah.
Did he leave them here on purpose?
He didn't leave them here on purpose, did he?
You stole them?
No, I didn't steal them. I was given them. Not by Ginger Baker.
Right.
Ginger Baker isn't a really nice man, that is the honest truth.
Well, he did that interview with, was it The Times or The Guardian?
He's just a miserable man overall.
Right.
He's not a bad man, he's just quite old and miserable.
Yeah, we can probably all be quite miserable.
Yeah, yeah.
At the time.
Yeah, and, you know.
So, yeah, so we're talking here on the Sunday night of that is the Glastonbury Festival. So we've all been talking beforehand about various things that we've liked and enjoyed listening to. Simon, any favourites that you've had?
There's only one band that's really stood out as a compelling view, which was Portishead for me. It's a band I've not seen live in person, but only on TV, but for me, like the visual aspect for them is, you know, something that like me and my band, like we really go for on stage. But yeah, I was really sucked in. There's only like three songs on the TV, and I was just compelled. I just couldn't switch off or anything.
Now, was this on the main TV highlights, or did you seek this out online?
No, this was on the main TV highlights.
Really?
I tried to
BBC
avoid,
Two.
Yeah, I tried to avoid the radio app, which was showing TV, which was really confusing.
Yeah, I got the radio app. It took me ages to work out. At first, I started streaming it off my laptop and connecting that up to watch what I wanted. And then I was looking on the iPlayer app and it's not there. And then
it's
eventually got the radio app that did it. But that seems quite buggy as well.
It's all been quite buggy, I think. That's why I kind of avoid it. I got Sky Plus, so I just recorded them all and just watch it when I need to.
Dan, did you catch any Portishead?
No, I've not been able to see that much because I've been away this weekend, but just before I came here I watched all of the Arctic Monkeys set and I thought that was pretty brilliant.
I was surprised
by how good it was, to be honest.
Not fussed by his accent?
I think he was just kind of putting it on for a laugh, wasn't he?
Yeah, he put me off with that.
Really?
Massively put me off with the whole comb and all that kind of stuff.
It's better than like... Before, a few years ago, when you went to see him and he was just like a mumbling, shy lad staring at his feet, and there he was like hamming it up with the solos, and I think he was enjoying himself a lot.
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few comments on Twitter that I saw that commented on his potential amount of drug intake before that.
Especially
appearance.
In the interview after.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
Eyes
really
black.
Well, I suppose if you're going to headline Glastonbury, you can, you know.
But his mum was there, so...
Really?
Yeah. He sung happy birthday to his mum.
Oh, what, on live on television?
Yeah.
Oh, oh sorry, God, I won't say anything bad about them, but I didn't really watch it and didn't enjoy the brief bits I saw.
I only saw it very briefly, and it just... It seemed to me to be playing up to the big Glastonbury appearance.
Mardy Bum with an orchestra was quite good.
Oh, really? I didn't see that. But I'm not particularly interested in watching that. Either.
Yeah, they don't... I got the impression they hate that, so they had kind of changed the set to suit the Glastonbury crowd and the TV crowd. So I don't think it's the song they usually play live.
Really? I do think they're quite clever with that. Like, you know, like the knowingness, perhaps. They're very aware in that respect, I guess, aren't they? There's a funny comment I read about it. They were kind of, who were saying, you know, this seems like a really... there's a lot of terrible music at Glastonbury this year, and you know the way the Stripes, is it the Stripes?
Yeah,
have been repeated a lot. He's kind of tantamount to that. And but someone then threw up the example that, you know, Travis headlined in 1999 and things. But you know, it's Mumford and Sons tonight off the back of two albums. That doesn't strike me either as like a
I think it's, you've got to look at it back in time, in that, you know, back in 97 when Travis won, they were on the radio every time,
yeah,
like that. They were a massive band at that point, you know.
Yeah, record sales wise, Mumford and Sons are the biggest band in the world at the moment.
At the moment. Yeah.
That's, you know, really scary.
Yeah.
That's really scary. I mean, the other one that is Skunk and Anansie headline, didn't they? But weren't they a replacement for someone, I think?
I think they
someone dropped out. We don't.
But Arctic Monkeys have headlined before, haven't they?
Who? Skunk and Anansie?
No, Arctic Monkeys headlined.
Arctic Monkeys, yeah, yeah.
2007, wasn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's, well, yeah. I'm conflicted because I'm not a massive fan of the Arctic Monkeys in part.
I think the point of the Glastonbury thing is that at one point it was kind of a. I mean, it's obviously grown and grown, but it was. You know, even in the last 10 to 15 years, it's grown to a point where it's... And even with the BBC getting more involved in social media and people who are outside of, let's say, a music circle getting involved in it, it's become a very spoon-fed, and they've realised it's more of a profiteering festival than say, that. So it needs to play up to what would be expected headliners to fill the gap of that much perceived demand, rather than what you would put in there as a headliner.
Yeah,
if that, you really liked it.
That makes sense. I mean, I still think the cool thing is that we got to see sort of Goat and Solanier and Foot Buttons. I don't know if they were on telly in the end, but you know, and even Daughter were on before the Stripes. You know, the Good and the Bad. You know, getting showcased on telly and so on. And like you say, you know, it's gonna appeal to that crowd. It seems this weird mix of Party in the Park and cool festival now, but it's that big, isn't it? Because the example and Chasing Status being on is, you know.
But yeah, I think they picked 120 bands over the whole thing, the BBC, and that's you can see them all online after, well, tomorrow, I think.
Yeah. It's an interesting mix, especially when you throw in stuff like Goats, who they do seem to have given a profile to on telly, who are an odd band.
Very well. There's a lot of world music, I thought, as well.
Yeah, but I guess that's
all part of the demographic, doesn't it?
Exactly what I was going to say. Yeah, the BBC.
I think if you lost that demographic, then you'd lose any appeal or any history of what Glastonbury's been about. So they need to keep a part of that. But I think they've lost some kind of middle ground of where musicianship is somewhere along the way.
Yeah, that's kind of what Richard Hawley was saying before the festival, wasn't it? Because he turned down an offer and said it's kind of lost its way or its ethos.
Well, the guy who were playing with Ginger Baker, the saxophonist, what's he called? Pee-wee, can't remember his name.
Pee-wee?
Yeah. Very, very famous saxophonist.
Saxophonist.
And, you know, Pee-wee Ellis. And he turned it down.
Right.
Like 2 weeks ago, because it was kind of, apparently 2 weeks ago they started asking, 2 months ago or whatever, started asking various, you know, very credible musicians from the past to start stepping in places.
Right. I know I heard there was one stage that only got booked about 3 weeks ago, one of the kind of, you know, outer, what they call it, outer fields, left field ones.
Melt Yourself Down, they turned it down as well, I think.
Oh, really? Well, just before I came out, they were showing that Bruce Forsyth played with a swing band. That was quite interesting in one of the other fields. And
I hope someone threw piss at him.
Yeah, do you?
Yeah, can't stand Bruce Forsyth.
Well, at least he's not in Operation.
He's doing all right for an 89-year-old. Yeah, or whatever he is. At least he's tap dancing away. I saw that.
Yeah. Yeah, you saw it as well. Yeah, he seems to be 89. Entertaining.
Yeah, he's old. He's probably
old. Really old, isn't he? He's like old. He's a lot older than you.
Did he still tap dancing? Like, you know. That's got to respect him for that.
Yeah, fair play. No, before I came out, the other one I was, which was Kenny Rogers, which was all sorts of fun. That man knows.
Yeah, that sounded really good on the radio.
He was the ace. He just held the stage.
He is. They're saying on BBC the 8th biggest selling artist of all time.
Well, I can imagine.
Yeah.
I can well imagine. I mean, it was all the hits.
Yeah, no, it sounded on BBC. That was one of the things that sounded the best of the old festival.
Yeah. It captured the crowd, and James, my 3-year-old, was...
He had them all singing back at him.
Yeah.
You know, and because it's so easy to learn and it's repetition.
Yeah.
And it's classic melodies, it was great, you know.
Yeah. He was explaining lyrics as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, that was nice. I liked that. Yeah. Mm. You know, explaining why he liked them and things like that. No more of
the 60s were so fucked up, is what he said.
I like that bit. that was good, you know. So I guess all of that is available to watch. The one band that I sought out to watch was Foals, because I'm not a massive fan of the new album, but it sounds like a band that wants to go stadium, and I was kind of interested in how it was going to fit in front of a massive Glastonbury crowd. And I thought it was really good. I don't know if anyone else caught, this is where everyone says they didn't watch it.
I missed it on TV, but I saw them at Leeds Met, I don't know, a good few months ago.
See, that's too small. That's like a club venue for the new album, I thought.
I think it could have transitioned well to a much bigger venue.
It struck me how good Spanish Sahara is as a song as well.
It's a great song.
That was absolutely, you know, amazing when they played that. Good times.
The cymbals were too loud in the mix for my liking.
Yeah, too much 10K
plus. It's all about the guitars for Foals. You couldn't really, and the first two songs, you couldn't really get that.
Yeah. Yeah, when they played the song that we were talking about earlier, that we can't remember the name of. Your Number, yeah. That was good. The guitars hit home. I liked that one. So, that's Glastonbury. Any final words on Glastonbury before we move on?
Well,
looking forward to Mumford and Sons.
Looking forward to Mumford and Sons tonight.
Don't think I'll be able to go next year, even if I wanted to, because I think it clashes with the Tour de France being in Leeds. So,
oh, does it? We'll try and limit our segueing to sport, but I have been kind of amazed by the fact that we've had Tour de France, Wimbledon, the British Grand Prix, the Confederations Cup final. I'm sure something else kicking off as well.
Some motor racing, won't they?
Yeah.
And do you say the Birmingham Athletics?
Birmingham Athletics, the Athletics. Right, try and limit that to sport. That's sport for the podcast. So as we said, this podcast is kind of going to exist on its own a little bit. It's the first one. We kind of generally will want to talk about what we've all been listening to since the last podcast when we continue on with this. But it seems, as a first one, a really nice opportunity to go, there's a lot of good albums out at the minute. Is that, am I right?
And discovered ones that have been out or just gone back to a little bit as well that are still fairly unknown or whatever.
Which ones are you thinking of?
Merchandise. Love that band.
Yeah. Has that been out for a while? I've only recently discovered it.
It's been out a little while. It's been out quite a few months. But just amazing. That's all I can say.
What kind of thing is it for our unaccustomed listener? Who would you rack it alongside?
Smith's vocals, Joy Division, a mix of all the good bands of that era, done better.
Right, better than...
Not better in its own right, but as a collective, put together really well and very underground and just... done really well.
It's very dark, you know, sounding.
How do you
it?
Get a 10-minute pop song that doesn't get boring?
Yeah, you know, that's good.
It's will got kraut.
Will they be playing the route now?
Yeah, they will be. It's not just because of that. It's just because I got a bit.
No, I wasn't asking because of that. I was just genuinely interested. Yeah. You've sold it to me.
I'll give you a track afterwards, and you'll listen to it, and you'll think, yeah. And the only thing a bit wrong with it is that, I don't know if you'll agree with me, some of the vocals are just a bit too Morrissey.
Yeah, it does veer into that territory.
It's a bit too.
But they're not the only band to do that.
Some of that sounds ridiculously like Morrissey.
Yeah.
But it's great.
I will mention here that if you're listening to the podcast somewhere other than on our Tumblr page, thisishappeningleeds.tumblr.com, we're going to put links to all the tracks that we mention and all the bands that we talk about, at least as much as we can. So if you do go there, you'll be able to hear a merchandise track that we'll have put there, and anything else we talk about now. Simon, anything? What's your favourite thing that's happened this year? Musically.
This year?
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say.
Last few weeks this
last
year.
It seems like
the last 6 weeks. I mean, I'm thinking since the Daft Punk, we had Daft Punk and the National Art the same
you've
week.
Yeah, loads of albums.
And since then, there's been every week there's been big stuff coming out. But even beforehand, there was big stuff. Good stuff.
I've listened to Daft Punk quite a lot, actually.
Yeah?
When we were on tour, that's one of the albums I brought, because when we were on tour, we bring albums, and the National came out when we were in Germany, so I got the National album.
So I like trains were listening to the National on tour.
Surprisingly.
Your surprises, yeah.
Yeah. But you know, we got it before the UK market. You know, we're in Germany, it comes out before. And Daft Punk, surprisingly, and Dave kind of liked Daft Punk.
Dave liked Daft Punk. Yeah. So there's a lot of criticism with Daft Punk that it was Well, I don't know. I didn't get the criticism because, I mean, hand on heart, I think it's a great album. But I guess it wasn't what people were after.
People just wanted the hit, didn't they? Is it hit after hit, and there's only that one single probably on there.
Is it because people want the hit?
To death as well, so people are kind of bored of that hit, and they're looking for new ones. And
no, you see, the irony, I think, is I think that isn't even the best single on the album. I think I'm going to embarrass myself, the other Pharrell song, Bring Yourself to Dance.
Lose Yourself to Dance.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that is an amazing single. That's better than Get Lucky, I think.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's good.
But yeah, is it just because it's not just full of EDM smashes?
I just think it's a really like nice album to listen to when you're travelling, so...
Yeah.
Maybe not at home.
Yeah, a crossover album. It fits various boxes that appeal to a lot of different people.
I guess that's partly because of the people that've got involved in the album as well. Yeah, I find it an odd one. Like, I think it's great, but I find it the beginning very disconcerting when you get to track three and you have the whatever it is 9 minute is Giorgio by Moroder that is just him spoken word over the track.
That's one of my favourites, though.
I like that.
The kick in, but then the drum bit at the end, that, some of the drums on the album, I'm a bit like, stop doing fills sort of thing.
Yeah.
It has been ruined for me by someone saying he sounds like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I've probably just ruined it for a lot of people.
Oh, you've just ruined it for me.
Yeah.
You can't listen to it in the same way without knowledge.
I have to say, if you start the album with Touch, there's quite a lot where I always get bogged down in that beginning.
Put it in your own order.
Well, no. If you start at track 5 or 6, I think it's a lot more because it's really long as well, isn't it? It's like 1 hour and 10. If you start at track 5 or 6, it feels to me like a much more coherent album. And that's not to say that that's a good thing. It's just I think that's really interesting. You know, there's so much on there that actually, if you do whittle it down a bit, it's more coherent. Because again, I think part of the criticism is that it's goes all over the place a little bit, which is a good thing, which brings us on maybe I guess Segu's Into Yeezus, which I wanted to talk about. The Kanye album. Everyone's shaking their head here, listeners. Which is another album that's just so random that it works. And also features tracks produced by Daft Punk. I don't know if everyone realised that.
Which tracks are produced by Daft Punk?
The first two, definitely. And I think one or two later on as well. But I think the first track's just like a slap round the face, which is probably what he's doing to someone as he recorded it.
Yeah. But some definite interesting noises on that album.
There's a really great article on Pitchfork with a lot of the collaborators, with Hudson Mohawk and a lot of the guys who engineered it, and there's a lot of, and it's really interesting, it's really insightful, and I think there's one of the tracks Hudson Mohawk did, and it's Justin Vernon as well, and there's one bit where they just talk about all the sex noises that they made on one of the tracks, and there was blood on the tracks or whatever, but yeah, they basically just talk about, you know, how much they made it sound like someone having sex while, you know, on the background with vocal noises. That's fair enough.
Yeah.
But any strong opinions on Yeezus?
Is it a masterpiece like people on the Twitter world deem it?
I don't know if it's a masterpiece, but it's definitely for Kanye West as an immensely popular rapper, it's a seminal album, I think.
I don't think you can judge if something's a masterpiece after it's been out for a week.
No, well, exactly. But what it strikes me is that...
I think, for me, it cements him in a position in time, himself, not necessarily the music, but as an artist, that he's done it over a lengthy period of time, rather than, you know, just another rapper.
I would completely agree, but he's more than it is about him being more than just a rapper.
Yeah, that's
he's
what I mean.
He's experimental. He's got real vision.
It's shown that he's got a wider reach of a grasp of knowledge, and the collaborators have got involved. That he's reached out into people where circles don't overlap of music, but he's brought them in, and I think he's been bold enough to do that, rather than saying, you know, someone somewhere must have said, don't get.
Yeah,
Vernon involved at some point.
Over the last two albums he's made, he could have easily made pop albums. Like, yeah. I don't think there is, you know, there's not a radio hit on the last two albums, and I think, you know, it stands him up as an artiste, if you want, or whatever. But I'm kind of really interested to see how the new Jay-Z album sounds coming out next week, to go all hippity hop on our asses, but because that's involved a lot of similar people. I think like Rick Rubin's produced that as well. So I'm intrigued as to how poppy that might be. I get the idea that might be a bit more of a poppy one. No strong opinions.
Is there going to be a guest appearance from his missus on that?
I don't know, but there's a trail video, and it's amazing. It's like 3 minutes of. It looks like they're mixing it in Jay-Z's front room, and there's various, like, you know, guys coming down to like mix it. Lots of like hands in the air, high fiving. Pharrell's there, which is the other thing, you know. Pharrell's there hanging around to make it, and there's basically Rick Rubin. And if
that guy just hang around, and Shari just thinks, who's recording this week?
I think there's several Pharrells.
I don't understand. He was like the go-to producer about 8 years ago, and he was producing everyone. But now he's just the guy who everyone else gets in to sing on stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I'm producing. Good to be fair, the one.
Do you want to pop down for a cup of tea?
To what?
You coming to Mook?
The one track that plays on this video, because it's like little bits of loads of tracks, just sounds so like Pharrell. It just sounds like Get Lucky or whatever, you know, like the drums do. But anyway, there are all these guys like hanging around like being really cool, and there's just Rick Rubin. And if you're not familiar with Rick Rubin, he's got, you know, about a 2 foot beard. He looks like an old hobo, and he's like lying on his back on the sofa, and they just keep reverentially asking him questions, as you would a producer who sold like hundreds of millions of records. And he's just like going, yeah man, do this, do that, and they're like, yes, that guy who looks like a homeless man on the sofa, that's the opinion we're going to listen to, which, you know, makes sense, but it's still quite funny. So yeah, it's got all the characters. Anything else? I mean, we're kind of talking about this, that it strikes me the most, a lot of the interesting albums have been of a electronic nature, shall we say, that have come out. I don't know if you've got any favourites.
Not really electronic-wise. I mean, I was big into the National one as well, but that's kind of been knocked off its perch at the moment by Queens of the Stone Age.
Right.
Can't stop listening to that. It took a while to get into, but I think that's what the best albums do. They take a while to sink in, and yeah, it's really good.
Yeah?
It's kind of got, like, kind of dirty demon-like grooves in it, and
yeah, I haven't heard a lot about it, but a lot of people are saying to me that it's kind of, without having the big hits of like older Queens albums, that it is kind of doing what needs to be done. You know, it's a great album.
Yeah, I think he's kind of made it with a purpose as well, because he's been through a bit of a shit time and stuff, and that's kind of been his impetus to, I think he's kind of brought him out of depression. I don't know if that's correct exactly, but I know he was like ill in hospital, and this was what kind of brought him out, making this, and I think you can tell a lot of time's been spent in crafting it.
Yeah. It's pretty massive that you have an album like that and Daft Punk and even the National and stuff, and they're all like getting to the top of the charts, and the whatever you want to say, they're all really interesting albums. But on the electronic nature, we were talking earlier, I mean, like, one of my favourites is this John Hopkins album, but we've had Gold Panda, we were talking about Border Canada earlier. I mean, Disclosure, the album I like, they're to me, Disclosure to me, yeah, everyone's smiling here, Disclosure to me is like Mastodon, basically. See, I don't like any other bands that sound like Mastodon, but to me, Mastodon do what they do so well that I love it, and Disclosure do the same thing for me with housey, dubsteppy, poppy music. I don't really like anyone else, but I think they're great. But the one that I keep coming back to at the minute is the Mount Kimby album. I don't know if anyone's heard that.
I've heard the odd song off it, but
yeah,
it's good.
It seems decent. But
they're playing Stylus, aren't they, later
this year? Yes, yeah. They are. Yeah, we'll see. That should be a good one. Great. Well, listener, that's a kind of nice roundup of what we've been listening to. We're going to take a quick 2 minutes, and then we'll head up to where we've been drinking and the bands we've watched this week in Leeds. So this is the second part of the This Is Happening podcast, and we're going to talk a bit. We mentioned earlier about things we've been doing this week. We are based in Leeds. We'll talk a bit about what's going on. So me and Dan, we were down at the Department M gig at the Nation Shopkeepers on Wednesday. Who were Department M?
It's Owen Brinley's new band, new kind of project. Who else is in it? It's a bit of a... There's a lot of other Leeds people involved in various other projects.
From Stalking Horse and this et al.
Yeah, Tommy from These Monsters on drums.
Who's also in Stalking Horse, I think.
Mm-hmm. And Liza from Menace Beach on keys.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm kind of biased because I released their first record. Oh, so good. So what,
good
did,
point
what did you
to
reckon?
Mention? Yeah, they were good. It was very. It's very Grammatics with more synths. It strikes me.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know about that.
Go on. Why am I wrong?
I don't know. I thought Grammatics was all kind of like floating, soaring melodies and kind of more catchier. This is a lot more experimental and it's more kind of drum driven and it's a lot more electronic and synthetic and 80s.
That was the only word that I thought when I listened to it. It's very 80s.
Hmm. No, I would agree with that. I would agree. I think the thing, though, is great. A lot of that stuff was there in Grammatics. It's just, I think that, yeah, this goes a bit further with things like the drums and the arrangement and stuff. It's become a stylization of itself, I guess, which I don't think is a bad thing at all. It's interesting than, more interesting than, you know, vast majority of the bands. But the gig was fun. There was a lot of people there, a lot of bands
there.
Yeah,
it's good to see a lot of other, like, Leeds musicians out watching.
Cause yeah.
I've been to a few gigs recently in town where there's not turnouts haven't been that great, but it was good to see that people are still attending gigs.
Yeah. A lot of people attending gigs here at the minute still. Nice.
Yeah, very busy.
Yeah, you've seen a lot of bands come to the gigs here, like other bands supporting bands down here.
Yeah. Yeah, there seems to be various circles outside of circles that are appearing, you know. Certainly, Destroy All Monsters kind of
right.
I've got their little group with, you know, with Mahogany Hang Glider and what's the other band they're playing now? Orchestra, and you know, Marcus's own band, and there's certainly a little movement going on there,
right?
And it's great to see it, you know. I mean, it's not just that, but there's a load of little offshoots into that movement, flexes around with kind of. You know, Roller Trio and all the College of Music kind of guys, and then you've got all that different offshoots, and then they go into Chris Sharkey and right. Trio VD, and they go into the Melt Yourself Down kind of, you know, Leaf stuff, but coming more localised, you know.
That's always been the
with
best way.
With Vessels and stuff like that. And I think that's not crossed over into the other side of it. And I've noticed that there's been a real... There's some great stuff coming out of that side of it, the new Vessel stuff and all that.
Yeah, it's always been the way, though, hasn't it? There's been like little bits of scenes and it's kind of translates. But
Vessels the other day, the same weekend as well, the same night as Long Division.
Yeah,
and they pulled over 300 people.
Really?
You know, and you kind of go, that's up against a festival 9 miles away that's got a massive lineup and yet to still pull.
Yeah,
that shows you.
Was that for the new album, or is the new album coming later in the year, or is it just a?
I don't think the album's out. Is it?
No.
I don't think it is.
Good
but
band,
it was surprising because it wasn't necessarily people I knew. It was just, and they'd done the tour, they'd played London. So for a local band for me that's established for so long, to not rely on people or a load of press or anything was, I thought it showed a lot of strength, you know.
Yeah. No, good things. Like hopefully they'll come. There'll be some more stuff soon. Simon, you were at the post-war Glamour Girls gig on Monday, and more confessions from your point.
Confessions, yeah. I've had interest in post-war Glamour Girls. Let's say that. But yeah, I generally thought. Well, actually, the first band, Cry Baby Cry, that's the first time I've.
Yeah, they're playing loads of gigs at the minute.
They supported Cotton Wolf at Shopkeepers.
And they play Carpe Diem on Saturday with that band Narcs. And are they playing with
that band?
Cry Baby Cry is Rosie Doonan, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's Johnny Firth.
Yeah. Oh, and Johnny Firth as well. I did not know that. Are they playing with Sam Airy on Wednesday as well?
I don't think.
Right.
But yeah, they were great, I thought. Generally, because it was supposed to be Imp, wasn't it, I think? And they just came in last minute. But yeah.
I think there's a good musical talent, though, do you know what I mean?
But that's another thing. There seems to be a lot of like solo singers establishing themselves as bands, like Cotton Wolf, which is Grant K. Fennell's thing. Why?
I don't know. Well, Rosie's been on tour with loads of people recently, hasn't she? Like, around the world.
Yeah, I was trying to explain to somebody else and I couldn't remember any names, but... But she. It seems nice that, well, there's a band... I guess these people have felt that they need to
Invigorate
themselves, maybe, I don't know.
I think Grant K. Fennell felt a bit didn't he feel like it was just a bit like hard solo to keep doing that, and he wanted a harder?
Don't know, to be honest. Maybe bigger might sound. Just be a case, yeah, like of.
I remember him saying that on the "Our Band Can Be Your Life," how much he enjoyed playing with a band way back then, because that was the first time, and he was like, "I need to get this together."
Yeah, I find it quite interesting. Like that, these, you know, there's these new bands. It seems like it's all of a sudden there's a few exciting bands about.
Yeah, I think there's, you know.
Yeah. So they were good then.
Puzzle Gamma Bills.
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, they were great.
They were great.
There was a song you might know better than me. I can't. Something Service Blues, Service Station Blues. Oh, yeah. That stood out.
Hang on, who's this? Post-war,
we're talking about post-war.
Post-war. Yeah, yeah. Thought so.
That was a hit.
I find it unique that post-war are great, but they've been around a while now, and they're kind of more bubbling. On the more established.
They're bubbling, I think.
Yeah,
but they just need their album to come out basically, and to get some attention nationally, like locally.
They just toured with Highlight Trains.
Yeah, I mean there were
a couple of gigs in England and a few in Europe. Is that right?
There was none in England. It was all Europe.
Was it all Europe?
I mean, it was a good experience for them because they've never been on tour really.
Yeah.
And that's what we wanted to do. We wanted
you just got them drunk every night, from what I gathered off social media.
No, they got us drunk.
They got you drunk,
which is unusual. No, I mean they're on a level now. I think they've, you know, when you've been touring for like, you know, a few months.
So they need to put a new record out. But they've just done a record, and Monday was a launch for the new record that you can't hear until September.
It's just a single. Like a kind of preview for the new material, I think, really. If you went to the gig, you got a download code for it. But
it was a single launch for a single that wasn't really a single. Like, it was a weird one. They wanted to do a couple of gigs, and they got offered these gigs. So
I think they said they're fed up of making every gig an event as well.
Yeah.
They want to just play.
They just want to play constantly. Yeah. Want to play, and they're going to be touring loads in October.
I mean, November. I think there's something to say against that.
Well, shouldn't every gig be an event?
Kind of, yeah. But I've got to look at it in the other way and go, look at the way Hookworms have gone and played a million gigs in the last, however, 6 months, and played every gig going.
But they haven't played many shit gigs, I would say.
And they've still got some good.
No, but they have, but you haven't seen them. Right. Because they've played third support at Wharf Chambers to a random band. They've played a gig in Halifax, they've played various gigs where they have played the kind of shit, not shit support, but, you know, where they've blown away main bands and.
But that's different to headlining the Library on a random Monday night, perhaps.
Oh, yeah, but what I'm saying is, I do think that there's something in that, you know, the build-up of their own followers, and I think that was one of the clever things that the people in them bands realise that they're going to do it for, you know, certainly the Hookworms, that they want to play and they want to get good, but also, the more bands you play with and you show them how good you are, the more followers you pick up every time that's new, and you've got a chance to sell more records. And I think there's something to be said about that, you know, and there'll be something said about that shortly anyway, won't there? But, you know.
Cryptic there from Nate.
Anyway,
gigs. But the good crowd, the post-war Glamour Girls gig, and they did well.
Yeah, it was good for a Monday night, definitely. It was all good. Yeah.
Yeah, any other tracks from local bands, like, taking your interest? There's a lot of cool, like, Swimming Lessons, Ben's new tracks. I thought the video was quite cool. If you've not seen that, I put that up on the Noisy website, just to show how cool he is.
He's pretty cool at the moment, I think.
He's very cool. Live, I'm honest, I told him after, I think.
I've told him as well.
He worked great with a band.
Yeah.
Visually.
Constellations when he was with a band.
Yeah, did you do Constellations with the band as well?
They were one of the best bands at Constellations, and they were the kind of Tocal local.
But it was post-war Glamour Girls back in, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's the interesting thing. Going back to the Department M thing, there's very much a trail of Owen, Department M's Owen's thing. We talk about Stalking Horse being like Woo's thing. You know, I've had experience. I did The Honour Before Glory thing being my thing, and Ben has Swing Lessons his thing. I think when you're around talented people who have all got their own thing going on, it then becomes hard to keep that band together.
Regardless of that, there's been several shows in Leeds, specifically live at Leeds, where the members of the band have been available, and there's no reason. He's chosen because it's easy, and I understand that, but But I think it adds so much to the audience. And I think, you know, one person doing something can only give so much. There's so much more, and it adds so much of a bigger sound and everything else, and just a live spectacle. And that's, you know...
I think it there's this weird thing, like I'm mixing the John Gomme album at the minute, which is like completely different, but there's this thing where people expect to see a visual representation of what you're hearing, you know. So with John, that's what the kind of incredible thing about it is, that what you're hearing is all like just that one guy doing it. But it's the inverse when it comes to stuff like Swimming Lessons. It's like, you know, we're hearing all this stuff, all these like drums, but you're actually just watching one guy play guitar and a bit of keyboards, you know.
Yeah.
They kind of want to see that visual representation of all the sounds. Yeah.
Tell you what I did.
Go on.
No. A local band that come out of nowhere the other week that's kind of had other members of other bands in, called Autobahn.
They played here on that all day.
Randomly. Though. And they've been in a few other bands, and they were just like... darker horrors.
That was it, because somebody else was telling me how awful they were.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that was Ben telling
that
how
was...
awful.
That was Ben telling
me
how awful they were.
He was the only person in the room that didn't like it. Yeah. They were the best band.
But which other bands had they been in then? I can't
remember. There've been a couple. I couldn't tell you. I can't remember them. But they were great.
Yeah.
I'll tell you now. They were full on awesome that day. And I just thought, first gig for a band that they've got something instantly.
Yeah.
And they've got an image, just a nice way of going about it.
You can tell from that name already as well what they're going to sound like.
You can't. Yeah. You can't. But exactly, they've got a name that not categorise them, but says what you're doing. It's great, but it's also got this horrors kind of cool image that fits with exactly what he's now. You know, there's a gothy, kraut, psych. It ticks all the boxes of something that, for me, I saw instantly and I thought, that could be really cool. That could do really well. Honestly, they were great.
Have they got any recordings up or anything?
I heard one song somewhere that he sent me on a link, and that was it. And
that's,
I heard
you won't
it.
Hear thought, anything. You won't hear anything now until they're like headlining Glastonbury or something.
No. But honestly, they were great. And they've got, like, I don't know, they mix in the Eagles circles, so they've been in, you know, people like that. But they were great. They just come out of nowhere, and that were the one band locally that I heard and instantly went.
What are Eagles up to nowadays?
They're recording their album.
Are they?
Yeah.
They finished the album.
They're in the New York
exclusive
Times recently.
New York Times.
They finished their album, and it's going to come out next year.
Right.
There you go.
Wow. Go Eagles.
Yeah.
So all these kind of cool gigs we've been to. There've been loads of other gigs this week. The Future Sound Heats, which, if you're unaware, is this kind of weird battle of bands that people in Leeds bands obsess over every year, because it means that six bunch of bands get to blag their way into Leeds Festival. It's a well-trodden route.
We've all been there.
We've all been there. It's all been fun. And in fairness, I've been involved in various capacities for a few years. I'm not really involved at all this year, but I've been part of choosing the bands that get to play the the gigs, and I've been a judge for the gigs as well. And I quite like them, because you generally see a lot of good bands play together on a good bill. And I know from experience that the bands generally all get together. In recent years, they've kind of doubled the amount of bands, which basically means there's kind of twice as many crap bands that play. And the gigs are really, they're all like four band bills now, which kind of draws it out a bit, which, arguably lost a little bit of its magic if it had any in the first place, which, as I said, I kind of think it did. Deep breath. That started this week. Has anyone managed to get down?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Hoping to go to Witch Hunt's Heat. I think they're one of the obvious kind of favourites to get through to play.
I was telling someone recently that I thought they were one of the standout candidates for the win.
Yeah.
it's always throwing up some surprises, though. Like,
it will do. There'll be three or four like ones that you know, and one or two that you've never
Monster
heard
killed
of.
By laser?
That's, yeah.
I don't think they're...
Well, the thing is, from experience,
that's
you have to bring
on Tuesday.
You have to bring minimum 80 people to get near it now, which is the problem, because they've changed the way the judging works. It used to be very judge-led, which was then liable to be fixed, but generally fixed in the favour of the better bands, it's fair to, you know. you know, you have to generally bring 80 people. Now, I remember the last 2 years, I think I either judged or was sort of like knew the guys from the seventh place band. I think it was The Grand last year and Arthur Rigby maybe 2 or 3 yeah. years before. And they both brought like, you know, got very, very high judges' scores and got like 65 people in. And it were like, you know, if you'd have brought another 10 people, you would have been pushing to get through. So for almost any band to get through, you need to be getting kind of 60, 70, 80. It's a big ask, which is, again, part of the shame of it nowadays.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shit.
A lot of nervousness about commenting on this.
No, I'm not nervous about commenting. I just think it don't necessarily bring up, obviously, what should be the outcome.
Yeah. I think it's strange because in the last few years we had what post-war have done well out of it, and Blacklisted did pretty well a couple of years ago. But the
Black Moth,
yeah, it's there are some bands I think just get lost by it. I mean, classically they go back in time, you know, like I said.
Fran Rogers as well, she got lost a bit, didn't she, when she won.
Yeah, but that was interesting. She that was before they switched the judging, I think, because there's no way I can imagine Fran brought loads of people. Mm. I mean, the classic was when people like Kenosha used to win. Of James and Simon Kenosha fame, who, you know, played to like 10 people. In fact, I remember going to see a Heat of Future Sound that must be 10 years ago, where it was the Cribs, Kenosha and one other band, and there were about 30 people there, if that. And you can search for
when was that? 2002?
Must be. I reviewed it for his music scene, so you can probably search it out. You can find the review.
I'm sure... Didn't Wild Beast one centre and not get through, so...
Well, the big two is Wild Beast and Trains never got through.
We never got through.
Yeah, whereas a lot of the other bands, you know, who went on and did stuff got through.
So I think if you're in a band and you don't get through, you can't really be too disheartened with that.
No, and a lot of the bands I speak to at the minute do enjoy it for the fact that they get to play with bands. There's a band that I had a meeting with a couple of days ago to kind of help, ask me kind of, is there anything we could be doing to be famous or whatever, and I pointed out, I mentioned, name dropped a few bands, local bands that they could, you know, might have an affinity with, and they were like, it turns out they're playing Future Sound Heat with them next week. You know, I think two different bands with two different things going on, so it's like, you know, it automatically fulfills that kind of brief, which there aren't a lot of. You know, we, you know, going back 10 years in Leeds, we used to have The Well, briefly we had The Vine. Even the Cardigan Arms, going back, the Duchess, you know, you had loads of local bands playing bills together, whereas you kind of don't have that in Leeds at the minute.
I think there's a thing with local bands as well, though, where... The
Parver effect.
I don't know if they...
the competition between, like, the animosity between loads of bands that the Kaiser Chiefs solved for a few years. That's what I always say.
Yeah. I honestly do think that, you know... In a lot of ways, for someone who puts on shows, that there's a lot of bands expect something out of a show for nothing, you know, whether it be financial or something like that, and don't see that they've got to put anything back into it anymore. There's a lot of bands who want to play shows but don't want to promote, feel there's a, what do you call it, a dignity or a kind of, it's not their job to promote it when they're promoting themselves as much as, do you know what I mean? Mm. And I think that's not to do with any show in particular. I think there's a bit of a social trend going on in that way, in that it's okay to shout about your band and say how good, but when it comes to getting people to come and watch you, you know, this whole pay to play thing where people go, oh yeah, you shouldn't encourage people to buy tickets for your gigs and stuff like that. And yet, I think that's been taken a little bit too far and out of context.
I'd agree with that.
You know, it's not like you're saying to people, buy it, but without getting people to your shows, I think it's seen as a negative thing, and yet people are too happy to then jump on guest lists, and that whole thing is, you know...
Well, the whole thing's a mutually beneficial arrangement, isn't it?
Of kind of
bringing people down. And you're right, I agree, you see bands kind of... not wanting to demean themselves by getting people to come to their gigs.
Yeah.
It's like it's got all start somewhere.
Yeah.
As long as you're not relying on those people, you know, down the line.
No.
You want your mates to come to... It's more fun when your mates come to...
Well, it adds to the atmosphere initially that gets people involved into the whole mix of people liking you, you know?
Yeah. Okay, I want to move on to one last last perhaps item, the forthcoming opening of the Leeds Arena, which has been, you know, very interesting developments. Now, they did an open day last weekend, I think it was. Did anyone, has anyone been? You've been in.
I've been in, I haven't been to the open day.
What's it like?
As I said to the team behind us, it looked like a bit of a football stadium feel. But that's because they haven't branded it. This was before the first direct cut their hands on it. So it was literally just concrete walls and red seats.
Yeah.
I was intrigued by the choice of red seats as well.
Yeah, I've seen that. And I thought the initial plans were all blue or yellow or something like that. And I thought, really? How do you get red seats?
But apparently it's something to do with the Queen's Hall seats were
cheap.
Were red.
What, in the old Queen's Hall? Yeah. Leeds Queen's Hall? That's incredibly tenuous.
Nothing to do with
it. They just got it cheap.
Yeah, there was a run.
Old Trafford one, refurbishing a stand or something.
But I mean, it did feel like a football stadium.
Just been like a Nike emblem through the like odd black ones.
Is anyone off to see Bruce Springsteen?
Well, I'm not in the country, but
it's out of my budget.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, so I didn't go. My wife and brother-in-law went, and apparently they were really impressed. Apparently, like, everyone, you'd expect everyone there to be helpful on an open day. But, like, all the security guards were ace. They were apparently encouraging them to, like, run around everywhere and
show. Because there's only 3,000 people there.
3,000? That's more than I thought there might have been, 3,000.
Yeah, 14,000.
Yeah, but it was set, apparently, I think it was set up in a really odd way, you know, so you could never have had full capacity. But they were encouraging my wife to, like, go and look in the back, not, I don't think in the backstage area, but, like, going, oh, that's where this is and that's where that is, and go and have a look. And they went right up to the top, and apparently the one thing I'd heard of other people as well is that the views, apparently, from almost anywhere are good. The really interesting thing about the open day is that they picked these bands to play on the amount of Facebook likes that they've put on their page, which seemed very...
No decent band has ever won a competition based on the amount of Facebook likes they've got.
Yeah, just, probably,
I
mean, not.
I wouldn't want to play... If I was in a band, I wouldn't want to be playing a big gig in front of all these people, knowing that I hadn't been chosen based on my music, but just like based on how many people I got to press a button.
Well, there's two sides of that. I mean, if you're the kind of band that are playing that because loads of people have paced the button, they're probably not going to be as bothered by that. But it just really intrigues me from the venue. But the venue must, like... You know, they couldn't vet that band in any way, shape or form. You know, I think they were both two young bands, in fairness, we should say, you know, involved with Leeds Music Trust. But then, you know, this is without any judgment, you know, my wife walked out of one of them because apparently, you know, I think they were taking playing an arena quite seriously, you know, that they were, you know, as far as they...
When you're 14 or
15, but, you know, is that, you know, essentially, my wife says, you know, the main criticism of the day was the way the kind of bands were done. You know, you are showcasing a new venue and you have 14 or 15 bands walking out, you know, bands heading out like the headline.
But who else could have played?
It's a great opportunity.
Who else could have played?
I'm sure lots of bands could have played if they'd have wanted to. You know, and obviously we all hope that the band got PRS and a fee for playing that gig.
Yeah, you'd have thought so.
Lots of lips being but there is bitten
there. There is another open day on the 20th of July, which is...
Is there? When is the Bruce gig? Is that the week after?
It's the week after, yeah.
Yeah, because there was another one on Tuesday for students and educational purposes. Yeah, there's
quite a lot.
Yeah.
I know, they're proud of the venue, I guess, and want to show it off.
What do we think? What do we think, then, of the gigs? Has it got anything to do with us? Do we care?
Well,
I mean, music-wise, I don't know.
There's a lot they've missed out on. There's a lot of recent... bands that have announced arena tours, Arctic Monkeys, Queens of Stone Age, Biffy Clyro, Paramore, all play in places like Manchester Arena or Sheffield. None of them are playing Leeds.
But that's the thing, well, I think, with Leeds Arena, I think, because Manchester's like a Category A arena, so it's like a bigger venue.
Yeah.
And Leeds is a Category B, like Sheffield's a B, Newcastle's probably a B. So I guess you can't really play.
If you're only doing four gigs, you're going to do Glasgow, Manchester, Birmingham, London, I guess. Yeah. And that's Leeds isn't going to change that because it's not as big. It does strike me as getting some interesting things, though. I thought there was been nothing that would ever interest me that's there, and then they get Bruce Springsteen, which is admittedly a bit of a special event.
The wrestling. I thought you were
interested. The wrestling. No. Wrestling's not for me.
BBC Sports personality.
Well, I think that's a fantastic coup. Like, really, it's that side of stuff that seems really good. Like, if they get more stuff like that, then
there's a lot of comedians.
That's good for Leeds.
I mean, I'm interested to see how it works for the 4,000 cap and the 7,000 cap and then the 10,000 cap.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see how it actually works when you pull the curtains round and how it actually feels, and does it change the acoustics of it, you know. And how good it is actually acoustically, you know, not just with a little band playing on a pedestal at the bottom, but with a full production in there that is costing, you know,
65 quid. You would you?
Well, it strikes me, it's interesting as well, because I mean, I remember having a conversation with someone a few months ago about how great it's going to be to regenerate Leeds, and it's like, well, maybe like the shops in the you know, because it's in the city centre as well, maybe the shops around it will do well. But I said, I made a comment along the lines of, are they going to serve like Leeds Brewery beer in there? And it's no. But then this week they've announced that the Primo's hot dog, you know, Primo's not a vendor without its kind of troubled history.
But they've angled all the, for all the criticism that I thought about it, transport wise, they've done a lot of planning to avoid people coming up through the city centre.
Well, you can't come up through the city centre anyway.
No, but I mean, what I'm saying is, you know, like the parking wise and everything else with the redevelopment of how you get off the ring road into the store and how you've got Rose Bowl park, you know, parking across the, and how they're going to filter if you come up there, and if you can't get into there, you're straight across the road into the road. You know, the way they've kind of
is that going to be enough? That's what I think, though.
I know that, but then they've got ways of filtering people down and, you know, back up Woodhouse Lane into the parking there and shut buses down and stuff on certain events that can do.
Yeah.
They've thought about a few things more than what I initially thought. And I think there will be some teething process, but the point with that is you're looking at it going, that's a mass kind of influx of people from outside the city centre that they're wanting to come in for an event and not really touch the city centre.
Yes, the flip of them guiding them outside of the city centre to park means that they'll never actually go into the city centre.
Yeah, in a lot of ways,
they're going to be very restricted to,
you know, the establishments, the Frankie and Benny's that are opening across the road, and the bars that are opening around that exact,
the new Hilton,
you know, and I think that's kind of the thing, you know, and you know, the old is it the Coburg on the corner, the old red bar that was just nice look for
is that still up for sale?
It was up for sale. I can't believe why someone hadn't taken that. It's really? Still called Red, and I thought, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's your pre-drinking bar, isn't it?
Whoever's got some money, get onto that.
Yeah, you know,
well. Don't invest in what else, just invest in that.
That's been up for sale for years.
Yeah, but that's the ideal one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the main thing that's impressed me with the listings is that, I mean, I'm not a big comedy fan, but it seems to have sweeped up on that base. I think music's always going to be slightly fickle, but they seem to be plugging the music. So I'm kind of encouraged by the fact that it's not.
I think what it's going to do is, it's going to now open up Leeds to the major promoters.
Yeah, which isn't one for right now, but is another interesting...
It's a really interesting conversation.
Yeah, which we'll continue after this in private. But right, well, I think we've talked about a wide range of subjects today. It's all very good, so... This is This Is Happening podcast. We will aim to do many more. So thanks to Nath.
Thank you.
Simon.
Thanks.
And Dan. And we'll keep you informed through the website of when we're doing anything more. Bye.